Well, good morning to you all. Wonderful. I'm going to ask you just for 5 seconds, lift your mask or open it. I want to see your smiles. Do you know how intimidating it is having a look at all these? All right, there we go. Good to see you all, eh? Wonderful to be back. Thanks, Carl, to yourselves as a leadership and allowing us to come back here. I think I've been here twice already, so it's so glad that I've been allowed to come back, and I brought my pet rock with me. I haven't lost my marbles, so I will share a little later on about this, and it's wonderful to have my beautiful wife here with me, and yeah, I mean, guys, God's doing amazing stuff, eh? I know COVID has been incredibly tough for, I think, all of us in different ways. But the most amazing thing is that the kingdom of God is advancing, and God doesn't get held back by this kind of stuff. In fact, I was just chatting to Skulk before the meeting, and he just asked how we're doing there in Dimble AM, which, by the way, I want to send greetings from them. So our Dimble AM meets at 12, and we go to 12, and today for the first time we go from 12 to 1:30. We used to only have an hour meeting, and then we had a second meeting after that for an hour. And then our Durbanville PM would have a meeting. But now Durbanville AM is meeting at 12 PM. It's very confusing in the kingdom of God. But anyway. So, yeah, I was just saying to him, you know, the most amazing thing has happened. You know, with us splitting the congregation in two like that, the funny thing is, it's like we've been able to fill the space. And the other thing is, some of our comm groups, you know, because you were only allowed the people that stayed in the home plus 10, we actually had to split some of the comm groups. So some of the comm groups have actually multiplied. So, and the funny thing is, the minute we multiplied there, God added new folk into those groups. So it's incredible what's actually going on. So, you know, we've got to see the goodness of God in all of this. So just this morning, as we start out, I just felt, you know, as Carl was busy speaking there, just highlighting that clip that Andrew spoke on, and just again spoke with Skulk. And one of the things that I think is very important for us as Christ followers is to be reminded that let me backtrack on this. I spoke to a guy a while ago who'd been part of Josh Gen for 20 years. And I think one of the things that is important for us, if you've been walking with this journey, and been part of the history of Josh Gen for that kind of period, I want to remind us, when you joined, what was it that you joined? Some people got saved into the church, all right? But one of the things that Andrew has often kicked down the field, that this particular ball down the field, he says, we're not buying into a vision. We're buying into values. And Acts 2, 42 to 47 is the values. It's what we believe. Can I suggest this morning that many of us have come to Christ, and what Christ sees as important should be important to us. So do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Do not neglect spending time together, not just on a Sunday morning or on a comm group night, but actually we should build kingdom lifestyle outside of those things. That should be the norm for us. And sadly, I've got to say, I think for quite a number of us, we've lost the value. We need to get back to the values, rekindle the values of the kingdom, and we've got to walk that thing out. It's kingdom lifestyle. That's what we're living. And then also just feel like reminding us that the kingdom of God is advancing. And I think something that Carl said as well is very helpful for us. As we get towards the end of the year, I appreciate that many of us are tired, all right? But the kingdom of God is advancing. Can I suggest you don't ramp down, ramp up? This is not a time for us to get weighed down. This is a time for us to push in and to find our strength and our hope in Christ, and I hope with the message that I bring that we will be encouraged through that. And so I just felt that I needed to encourage you with that. I was going to do a little exercise this morning. I don't know, maybe I should. Are you guys okay? Can we just have a little bit of fun here? And also I just felt I wanted to encourage the lady at the back. Sorry, I didn't get your name on the screen thing there, that you put all the scriptures and everything up. What is your name again? Irena. So I just felt I wanted to publicly just say thank you to you for serving at the back there. Because I would assume you're fairly new there. And you know what? It's quite stressful because she's now got to make sure that the words pitch up here so that we can all worship. And I want to say to you, well done. You're part of a family here. You don't have to be perfect. You haven't done anything wrong. But I know when we spoke before, you were very nervous. But we're part of a family here. All right. And so family has got grace for one another. All right. And so thank you for serving. Could I suggest, if there are more hands available to assist and help, please get involved. It's a wonderful way to serve the kingdom of God. My father-in-law, my late father-in-law, was 6 foot something odd. Black belt karate. Of course I behaved myself when I visited his daughter. But you know, years ago, they used to stand. Remember those overhead projectors where they used to put it on like a thing and a transparency? That's right. And would go up there. He would stand in the front of the church. He was a highly qualified individual. But every Sunday, he would be there serving, making sure that people could worship. He was never too good to put his hand to something as menial as that, so that the congregation could worship Jesus. So I want to say to you, if you're not involved here somehow, some way, please chat to the leaders and say, listen, I will wash the toilets if I have to make sure it's prepared when people walk in on a Sunday, but get your hand to something. All right. Sounds. Thank you. Sure, I've never had that happen before. All right. So let's have a little bit of fun. I want you to take out your cell phones if you can, and maybe open it up on YouTube. Find a clip that you've been listening to. Maybe it's music, a talk, or whatever. What I want us to do is I want us to get it ready, and I really hope this works. I've never done this before, but I just felt like I needed to do this morning. And what we're going to do is I want you to get a song ready, or a message ready. And what I'd like you to do, on the count of three, I want you to push play, all right? And we're going to let it play. But your volume must please be up. Maybe some of you are going, ooh, chutz, I can't hear this. All right? But I want you to please humor me. Let's see where this goes. And when I say to you on the count of three, we're going to push play. We're going to wait, let everybody's stuff make its noise. And then at some point, I'm going to say push pause. And when you push pause, right, I just want you to be quiet. All right, so on the count of three, I want you to push play. One, two, three. Pause. Holy Spirit, this morning we come humbly before you. And I want to pray that this morning we would hear the voice of Jesus. Lord, there's so much noise around us. There's so much drawing on each one of us at the moment. Even as we sit here, our minds could be wandering. Maybe there's something else that's grabbing our attention. Lord, this morning, as we push pause, I want to say in the natural and in the spiritual, we push pause on the stuff that is taking our attention away from the things of you. And I'm asking you, Lord, this morning, as I minister the word, I'm asking as this word goes out, Lord, would you let us hear your voice this morning? Let your voice be louder than the things that are grabbing our attention. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was sweating bullets when I was thinking about that this morning. How are we going to do this? But I'm trusting you would be encouraged with that. So let's get straight into the word. This morning I'm titling the talk, Living Stones with a Destiny and Purpose. So I'm going to ask you if you can stick up that scripture for us, please. 1 Peter 2, verses 1 to 12. All right. So there it says. Therefore rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Of course we don't have that, yeah? Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good, as you come to him, the living stone rejected by men but chosen by God and precious to him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay a stone in Zion, a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in him will never be put to shame." Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone, and a stone that causes men to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. They stumble because they disobey the message, which is also what they were destined for. But you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Dear friends, I urge you as aliens and strangers in the world to abstain from sinful desires which war against your soul. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. So this text is quite powerful. And it's funny, when we planted our church in Brackenfell in 2007, this is my first preach that I ever did. So I must just tell you, I haven't gone back to that preach from 2007. This is fresh stuff, all right? But that's very, very powerful for us, because we're going to see what this means for us going forward. But what I love about this text is that the first three verses 1 to 3, speaks of us being in a situation where, if you look at it, it tells us that we've got to deal with some issues, all right? And then the last two verses in that particular text also tells us that we must deal with sinful desires which war against the soul. And then what it also says, live lives in such a way that people will see the transforming power of the gospel in you, that even if you do good and they got issues with you, they will still see the goodness and kindness of God. And so for me, this is like what we would call a wonderful love sandwich. Now, a love sandwich in Josh Jen is one where you got the bun, the meat in between, and then the bun again. So it's, hey, you're such a good saint, we love you. And then what happens is we're going to sort of do a little bit of correction, and then we love you again because we want you to keep walking with us. But this is quite interesting. This is almost like, for me, one of those health sandwiches that you guys get. What are some of the health sandwiches? It's this banting type of stuff, you know. This is dealing with what would normally be the meaty stuff, putting it on the outside and then dealing with some very key stuff on the inside. So it's saying, as a church, deal with your issues. Get over the stuff. Some of this stuff, we are laboring and we're lingering on those things. And God is actually calling you and I to move beyond that and to deal with our sinful patterns in our lives. And so when we look at this dealing with our issues, what does this mean for us? The body of Christ needs to grow up. And it's interesting, how many of us sitting here, do you remember when you were a youngster? How many of you wished that you were like your older brother or sister? Oh, I wish I could be like them. They're like, you know, when you were like 6 or 7 and your brother or sister was maybe 13 or 14. I mean, I can remember, you know, when I saw some of my friends that were older than me, I wanted to be like them, but they were like lanky teenagers. You know, they're like all out of sorts. And when they spoke, their voices broke. But I don't know, there was something in me that I wanted to be like them. And then we get to 13, 14, 15. How many of us wanted to be 21? And when we were 21, we wanted to be 30. Now we're getting to 40 and 50. And some of us are saying, let's just slow this thing down a bit. You know, the interesting thing is, for people, it's the most natural thing for us to want to grow, because God's actually put that in us. And so God also wants the body of Christ to grow. A baby naturally cries for milk when it's hungry. And in the same way, spiritually, when we are hungry and we are thirsty, what happens is there's something of a groaning. There's a something of pointing back towards God. And there's a something of wanting to grow up in the things of God. And part of that growing up is when we see the fruits of some of the things that manifest itself in our lives as we deal with our sinful patterns and we deal with our issues and we start taking more and more of the kingdom things of God in our lives. It's a beautiful picture here. All right? So I'm going to sort of launch right into things that will be helpful for us to consider in this text. I think maybe as well, just while I'm thinking of it here, and I've seen my notes here, just part of our growing up and dealing with some of our issues, one of the things that God dealt with me, and I had to look at this as well, is that, you know, as a person, one of the things I've had to wrestle with and process is, I think as a guy, the most natural thing is I feel that I'd like to feel valued, appreciated, accepted, and respected. Those are a lot of worldly stuff things. You know, and I've had to wrestle my journey out with it. But you know, one of the things that God used as I had to start dealing with my patterns, one of the things that the Lord highlighted, those things that you think are so important, Ants, when people are with you, do they feel valued, appreciated, accepted, and respected? And so for me, it's been a thing of, Lord, I need to deal with this, but I also want to be in a space that when I am with people, this is no longer important what people think or how they handle me, but what is important is how I deal with them, that they feel that they are accepted, respected, and appreciated. Why? Because ultimately it's God in me flowing through me, because God loves the people around us. So with that, I want to introduce you to my pet rock. And this is from Somerset West, by the way. And so this morning I want to say to us that you and I are living stones added into God's temple. And it's interesting that when I look at God's temple, we see two writers, funny enough, in the scriptures. Yeah, we've got Simon Peter writing here. He refers to the church as a living spiritual temple with Christ as its chief cornerstone and foundation. There's another guy who writes, his name is Paul, Paulus in Afrikaans, for die wat al klaar geseend is en die taal praat. All right? There's this guy, he refers to the church as the body of Christ, okay? And Christ is the head of the church and each believer is a member. What is quite interesting, when I looked at both of these pictures, and there's probably way more that we could be looking at, but what is interesting, when we look at this picture, what it is saying is that Christ is central in everything. All right? You think of a body, cut the head off, the rest of the body is useless. All right? And what is important, and we're going to start to see that Christ is central and Christ brings us into community. So with that, we need to know a stone wall, a temple, or a body part is useless without the others. And God brings you and I into something way bigger than you and I ever dreamt of. In fact, Andrew spoke of it on the clip. Can I say to you, you're part of something way bigger than you've ever dreamt of, imagined. There's 27 congregations around the country, and we have relating churches called Fall 12, and there are plenty of them around the world. And so we are involved, friends, with something way bigger than we are realizing at this given time. But with that, it gives our lives significance and purpose as we serve together in the kingdom, taking ground for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this brick is getting quite heavy, and I want to say to you that one brick, one rock, doesn't make a building. If you look around you, you'll see there's a number of bricks in this building, and let me tell you, there are some pillars that are also in place holding the bricks in their place. But every brick has its function here, all right? Every rock will have its function and will serve a purpose. And that's what God does is he brings you here and he says to you, I'm going to add you here. Can I say to you, your life doesn't come in who you are. When you surrender your life to Jesus, he gives you life by his Holy Spirit. He breathes life into you and he adds you into this body as a living stone. So when you're serving at the back on the sound and on the projection, you serve with all of your heart as unto the Lord, because that's what glorifies him and honors him. And we need to see that bigger picture. For some of you sitting here this morning, you are not here to fill a chair. This is God's ordained moment for you to be a part of something way bigger than yourself. And He's chosen this moment. You might be a guest. You might be visiting here for the first time. And I want to say to you, we count it a privilege to be able to host you this morning. Firstly, because we want you to hear the gospel. We want you to see the gospel at work in us, the transforming power of the gospel, taking messed up lives and starting to make us more and more like the likeness of Jesus. But those of us who are Christ followers need to understand that you are here for the church. The church isn't here for you. God uses your gifts, your talents, your abilities, and your resources for the furthering of His kingdom. And we should be running and saying, Lord, here I am. Use me. How can I serve your purposes? What do you need from me? And we need to give ourselves wholeheartedly to that. Living stones added into a spiritual temple. And we are going to give it horns for the kingdom of God this side of eternity as we run into eternity. I want to ask, I don't think I gave you Psalm 84:10. Eh? If you can stick it up, that would be great. Otherwise, I'll just turn to it. I think this scripture for me is wonderful. Thank you. Well done. Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. Can I suggest to us this morning is whatever you could put your hand to, would that be okay to say, God, I'm all right with this? Is it making tea? Is it making coffee? Is it surrendering yourself to say, I will serve in children's church? I'm preaching into your context. I don't know much of the story. And really, Carl and I, we haven't chatted this week other than, hey, we're starting at 8:30 with the prayer meeting. And I want to say to you, is it okay and is it enough for you to say, Lord, even if I just give myself to the children's ministry, I will do it with a happy heart and I will serve as unto you. And this is the thing, because sometimes what happens is we want to push for the grandeur. Let me say, I'm a normal man. I never in my wildest dreams ever thought I would be standing up preaching to people. It's an enormous privilege, but it comes with massive responsibilities. If you look at what's happening around the world and pastors that are falling left, right, and center, we've had it even in our own context, breaks my heart. There's a weightiness that comes with this thing. And I want to say to you, whatever you give yourself to, can you be satisfied with the call that God has given you? If you are a comm group leader, lead with diligence. Love on the sheep. Serve the people. You know what? Take them into the inheritance that God has for them. Can you do that with a happy heart? Can you see them as a brick, not a dead brick? Can you see them as a living stone being added and allow God to work in them and through them for the furthering of His kingdom? So with that, as we journey forward, you need to know, as you walk with this body, as you walk with us in the greater context of Josh Jen, you need to know you will grow up here and you will mature in the things of God here. And if you allow God to work in you and through you, you're going to see some amazing things. I'm trusting that as we allow God to flow in us and to change us and aspects of our character and our nature and deal with our sin and the stuff that is holding us back, we are going to see amazing things happening in our midst. You will also come to worship God and serve His purposes. Now, for many of us, we might say, oh, you know, the worship this morning, that was so wonderful. Yes, it was. I want to say that this team served us diligently this morning, but this is just one facet of worship, friends. Do you know that worship is setting up on a Sunday morning and getting the house ready that when people walk in, they can see these people do the best that they can with what they've got? Do you know that worship is how we treat one another? Worship is how husband and wife treat each other, how parents treat their children, children treat their parents. Worship is how we give financially. Worship is how we deal with each other and what we think or say about one another. Are we honoring? Are we preferring? Because all of this will either bring glory to God or it won't. I remember years ago, we hosted a dinner date night and we had groups preparing tables for meals and that. And then, of course, we had date night and couples came and we had a guy, some of you may know him, Peter Hart Brown, here from Somerset West. And we walked very closely with him, and he and Jan came and ministered that night. And I'll never forget his words, because when they walked in, you know, in Brackenfell, ons het tannies, wat baie mooi kos kan maak, en hulle blommetjies op die tafel, spectacular. They went to town. And when Pete walked in, I'll never forget his words, he looked at this and he just said, this is worship. How you prepare the tables or hosting people in your home can be worship as unto the Lord. The point here is, it's a lifestyle of worship. Does that make sense? Your being here is because you are of value, not only to God, but to His people. And each one of you has a role and a contribution to make. And so it's interesting that God has added you into a family, and some of you are still needing to make the decision to be a part of this family. The most beautiful thing that I can tell you this morning is, your friends you can choose, but your family you can't. Now, some of you might need to make a decision to follow Christ, but you might be looking at it and saying, ek only van die only. At that given point, you get the choice. But once you make a decision to follow Jesus, you don't get the choice of the brother and the sister sitting in front or beside you or at the back of you. That's your brother and sister. You don't get any choice in that matter, because Jesus has chosen them for you. So God has brought you and I into something way bigger than we realize. And so He wants you to walk out your walk in family, in community, and understanding that in community, we hold on to the things that are important, the things that we value. Firstly, non-negotiable, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. And it's only through Jesus Christ that we can be saved. But then if we look at it a little bit further, what are the things that we value? And we touched on it earlier on, is the importance of our getting together. Just go simply read Acts 2, 42 to 47 as one of the things that we hold on to. And hopefully that will shift the way that we walk in the life of the church. I think it's important for us as we journey forward as living stones, is that as Christ followers, we are totally dependent on God. We are interdependent on each other. That's how God's designed it. I think sometimes what happens is we're so needy of one another we're so dependent on one another rather than actually on God first. And we need to maybe just ask ourselves the question, when the pawpaw hits the fan, who do I go to first? For me, COVID has been an amazing time, because I want to tell you something, it stretched my theology, it stretched the doctrines that I believe, everything that I've understood. Because when you get into difficult situations and you are really being put to the sword, you will see very quickly who you turn to. Do you turn to man or do you turn to him? God's call is that we first turn to him, and then we need to understand that God puts people around us to help us in this journey going forward. That's how it works. I hope this is helping you guys this morning. And it's funny, this is God's idea, not ours. I'm just bringing to you what's in the scripture. I'm not building his church, he is. One waters, one sows, but God brings the growth. He's busy building. He's the expert. He knows what he's doing. And he's smart. He's smart in the way that he does it. So with that, I want to show you a couple of slides. So I'm going to ask if you could put that first slide up for me at the back, please. Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. Right. So you can see in the bottom corner there, it says cornerstone. All right, can you see there? You all cool there? All right. Then you'll see there's the keystone and the capstone. It's interesting when you look at that. When I read my scripture, it says, see, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone. The interesting thing is about a cornerstone, when you start building, so I'm not a builder, but I think I've done a little bit of homework. So if you are a builder, please have grace with me. Yeah? But there's got to be a starting point. All right. And that starting point is where everything happens. And generally in those days when they started, all the rocks that were built around that cornerstone were generally of the same size, and they would have a point where they start. That was key to how the building would actually operate and be built from going forward. And so what happens is we move then, and it goes on, and it says, a little later on, it says, It says, and the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. And you'll see that's the capstone on the top there. And then there's a keystone. All, what is important here on these three things here, that each one of these stones is vital. Now I'm going to show you how this becomes hopefully more picturistic for us. So I'm going to ask if we can go to the next one. Right. So now let's get the bottom here. You see on the bottom there, on either side, there will be a cornerstone. Okay? Now what happens is we start to build the stones. And if you take this stone over here, that will become your keystone. All right. Now if I pull that keystone out, this whole lot will collapse. Okay? So that keystone could also become the capstone. If we didn't have this one on top, that would be your cornerstone, building, your keystone, or capstone, which holds it together. In this picture, what's happening is you've got a cornerstone, keystone, and the capstone. The capstone on a building, for example, in Cape Town, would be that larny little section that gets plonked on the top of the building that makes it look together, makes it look really larny and nice. You know, this fancy stuff. Why is this picture important for us? We won't move on from that now. Thank you. But why is this important for us? Very simply, as Christ followers, we need to understand that everything starts with Jesus. Everything is held together by Jesus, and everything ends with Jesus. So I'm going to say to us this morning, this isn't a club. Our coming together is because of Jesus. It starts with him. We're held together by him, church. And he's in control and he knows what he's doing here. And the interesting thing is that it will all end with him one day when we join him and spend time with him for all of eternity. So where does that leave us? We're going to go to the next rock. Let's have a look at this one. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I do cycle. I try to do a bit of mountain biking. This is what I look like when I finish my rides. As you can see, I'm lying on the rock. Now, what this means for us is, as I spoke earlier on, Jesus is the cornerstone of the church. But I want to encourage us this morning as we look at this. One of the things that is important for us as Christ followers, we need to fall on the rock. We see here that the Word of God teaches us that some people are not going to accept Jesus Christ, they're not going to accept the teachings and that. But I want to suggest to us this morning that we need to learn in all aspects of our lives to fall on the rock. How many of you would like that rock to fall on you? This is a powerful moment for us. And so what happens is when the gospel is preached, generally two things happen. One, people will either say, yes, I get this is amazing. What do I need to do to be saved? And the Bible tells us we need to repent. Repent of your sin. Repent of your brokenness. Repent that you've actually dishonored God. And the Bible speaks of repentance is turning away from your sin, is changing your mind and walking in the opposite direction of that which held you captive and in bondage. But there's another group of people that when the gospel gets preached, they'll say, "Wie sê die Engelsman van Durban wil, wat nou sommer sê wes toe kom," and I can say for me, you're a sinner. I want to say to you, God loves you. You've got to preach. As sinners are going to be separated from God. That's what the Bible teaches us. And we want to give every unsaved person the opportunity to respond to the gospel. Because, my friend, sir, ma'am, when you die, there will be no second chance. Today might be your day. You see, what's got to happen is our pride needs to be thrown on the rock. Our arrogance, our self-sufficiency, our self-dependency needs to be thrown upon the rock, lest the rock falls on you. The cry of my heart this morning is if you don't know Jesus, that you would receive him today. That you would respond, because there will come a time when we will either fall on the rock or the rock will fall on us. And that has massive consequences for where we spend eternity. It's interesting that R.T. Kendall, who is one of the living theologians of today, one of the things I remember him saying years ago when I listened to him preach, he's like, I would say, almost like the godfather of ministry, one of those guys, you know, when he speaks. He's just a wonderful senior citizen that when he speaks, I could sit and I could listen to him talk. But one of the things I remember him saying, he says, humble yourself before the Lord. Don't let God humble you. As a Christ follower, you might be sitting here this morning and you know, whoa, I haven't been walking right. Actually, I need to shift some of my thinking, because actually Jesus paid a massive price for this body and for the group of people that are here. I need to shift the way that I'm thinking. My cry to you this morning is, will you throw yourself upon the rock, which is Jesus Christ? So as we start to land, and this plane is now coming down, I want us to look at our position in Christ. We can see, all right, the importance of dealing with our issues. We can see that God is adding us in as living stones. We can also see that with that, you know, that Jesus is the cornerstone. He holds this church together. It starts with him. He holds it together. It ends with him. And also the importance that we, as Christ followers, need to constantly fall on the rock. And if you're not yet saved, the opportunity will be given for you to respond to Jesus today, so that you could fall on that rock. But now we need to see our position in Christ. And this, for me, is the exciting part. Are you guys ready? I'm going to ask if you could stick up those verses again for me, which would probably be from about verses 9. If you can stick that up for me, we're going to read those verses. I want you to look at this again. This is our position in Christ. Verses 9. There we go. But you are a chosen people. I want you to look at the person on the left and right of you and say, you're a chosen people. You are a royal priesthood. Will you tell them that? Can I tell you something? Just before we can just keep those verses up. Being chosen, you know how many of you can remember the day that you stood on the side of the field when there was hockey or rugby or cricket or netball or whatever? And remember, they always had two people that would choose. How many of you were like me? I always got chose lost. I wondered if they would even allow me to be on one of the sides. How many of us can remember those days like, pick me, pick me? All right? And you know what the funny thing is? You are chosen by God. You're handpicked by God to be a part of his family, warts and all. And God has a plan and a purpose for your life. A royal priesthood is not a thing of come along and let's sit and be spectators. No, royal priesthood says we are here to serve. We are here to serve the purposes of God. He's called you with all your warts and all on this journey. He will change you as you serve his purposes. But we are here to serve, as I said, using your gifts, talents, abilities, and resources for the furthering of his kingdom. And then it goes on. It says, a holy nation, you've been set apart. That's why we're aliens. We're no longer citizens of this world. We're citizens of another world. We have been set apart. Why? Because God has chosen that. That happens in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on and it says, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. You were once not a people. Now you are a people. You see, the nation of Israel were chosen by God. Later on, us Gentiles got the gospel preached. Thank God somebody went out and preached the good news of Jesus, of how we could be saved from our sins and how we could be rescued for those who would believe and trust in him. And because of that, we've become children of God. We've become part of his family. And for me, our position is one of, thank you, God. I am so glad that you have chosen me. I'm so glad you've allowed me to be a part of your story, God. I don't deserve to be a part of your story, God, but you have made this possible through faith in Jesus. I want to ask you, can I get a couple of amens this morning? We should be thumpingly excited about this journey. Amidst the way that we feel and some of the things that are happening in our lives, man, God is still good. He is still on his throne, and we should be celebrating him today.